Off the Ball, GAA.
But the reason we carry a smaller panel is because some players can't live to those standards and cultures that we're trying to achieve.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. Now, we wanted to check in on the Women's Champions League, and we also wanted to chat about the Republic of Ireland because Carla Ward announced her squad for the Greece doubleheader that's coming up next Friday week and the following Tuesday. I'm delighted to say that we've got Rachel O'Sullivan of Girls on the Ball with us on the line. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very well. So let's start chronologically here and talk about the Champions League. It's not a Tuesday, Wednesday for anybody tuning in and worried that they've actually missed this already. It's tomorrow night, Thursday night. Chelsea versus Manchester City is sort of turning into one of these NBA best of seven game series. Who is the happier of the two clubs so far?
Well, arguably, Chelsea are going to be the happier because they've won two of the three. Manchester City, you could say, be happier going into tomorrow night because they're ahead in this tie. So it's a hard one to put the pin in at the moment. I do know Chelsea, of course, this is the title that's eluded them for so long. So they will absolutely want to make sure they turn this tie around. But it's been quite an enjoyable quadrilogy so far, hoping that the fourth installment lives up to the rest.
When it comes to Chelsea and the Champions League, has this been a story of heartbreak, near misses, or really has their European form just not matched what they've done on a domestic level over the last number of years?
I would say last year you'd describe as heartbreak. I think the manner in which they went out to Barcelona was a tough pill to swallow. They'd beaten them away, which I think maybe many didn't expect. They got the game plan spot on. And then, you know, you can look at that return fixture at Stamford Bridge and you could say, had Myra Ramirez been fit, could it have been a different story? Should that red card have been given? You know, there were little things within that game that you think maybe could have turned that tie around. And I think they proved last season that they absolutely belong on this stage. They are a team that can trouble any team in Europe. And so I'd say last season, bit of heartbreak. I'd say before that, maybe it was a case of not quite being there yet. But, you know, with the quality in the squad and the run of form they've been on this season, I expect, you know, even better things from them.
Yeah, because it's an interesting situation that they're in, obviously being 8 points clear at the WSL. And at the start of the season when we were previewing the competition, you would have thought that maybe this could have been a two-horse race between a Chelsea and a Manchester City. And it just hasn't manifested whatsoever. But Manchester City, you could argue, when it's mattered the most in the competition that matters the most potentially to Chelsea this season, they've shown them up. So why did Manchester City manage to get one over them on the first leg, given there's what, a 15 point gap between them in the WSL?
Well, look, we obviously have had a manager change at Manchester City, with Gareth Taylor going out and Nick Cushing coming in the interim. I think tactically, Nick Cushing got it absolutely spot on. You know, you look at that Manchester City team going up against Chelsea without Lauren Hemp, without Alex Greenwood, Bunny Shaw injured, Foggino injured, and Shaw and Foggino have been key in that League Cup. Appreciate they lost it, but they were very, very key players in that game. You see Viv Miedema starting on the bench, you think, what's happening here? And actually, it was tactically a very clever thing to do. Miedema, the intelligent player that she is, was able to come off the bench knowing where she could exploit Chelsea. She saw the spaces, she saw where she could get in and exploit them. And she did exactly that. And it was a Miedema masterclass in the second half. So granted, I don't think Chelsea turned up in the same way, but I do think a lot of that was down to Manchester City's tactics. So I think credit has to go to Nick Cushing and the team and the way they managed that fixture, because 2-0 is a hard one to come back from.
Yeah, it certainly is. Does Miedema start on Thursday?
I'd imagine she would. Like, I don't feel like they're going to do the same thing again as they did in the first leg. I think it's also going to be intriguing to see what players are available for Manchester City, if any are coming back from the injuries they've had. Are any more injured? I know Alexandria and Hasegawa both went off in the third installment of this fixture against Chelsea at the weekend with injuries kind of late on. So I don't know how significant they are. Hopefully not too significant, because that could potentially be the final straw for Manchester City. It'd be very difficult without them.
One of the questions that I've wondered all season, and I guess it's a bad time to ask it given they're 2-0 down going into the second leg, but had people dared to wonder if Sonia Bonpastor was as good as Emma Hayes, if not potentially about to achieve something that she had been unable to achieve at Chelsea, or is that just a taboo subject amongst Chelsea fans?
I'm sure at the beginning, you know, there were questions, is she the right person? I think Chelsea showed that they weren't looking to kind of have a transition period in the calibre of coach that they brought in to replace Emma Hayes. It's always difficult when you're someone coming in to arguably a dynasty, if you like. 10 years in the job is a long time, nearly 12 years actually. So it was always, there was always going to be some question marks. I think she's absolutely proven what she can do. I think in a similar way to Emma Hayes, she's not massively tied to a style. She's not, you know, this way or no way. She's willing to adapt. She's with, you know, they're okay with playing games where they might not look amazing, but they know how to grind out a result, and that's all that matters. So I think we'll see that potentially with this Manchester City game. They will do what it takes, and I think Sonia Van Pasta has shown she's willing to do that as well.
The other English club involved, obviously, is Arsenal, who were down 2-0 to Real Madrid after the first leg. Broadly speaking, do you give Arsenal a chance of turning this one around?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think it was the other way around and they played at home first and they were going away with a 2-0 deficit, it might be trickier. They've done it before in a case that they've come back to the Emirates against Wolfsburg 2 seasons ago, 2-0 down, and they brought it back and ultimately ended up losing in extra time. I can see them doing that if they get an early goal at the Emirates with, you know, 20 plus thousand fans behind them. It is key that they get that early goal, but equally, they do struggle against a low block. And if Real Madrid decide they want to sit back and try and absorb this Arsenal team, they could find it tricky. But, you know, I do think they've done a comeback before. They have it in them. And I think playing at home might give them the edge.
Hammering Liverpool over the course of the weekend won't have done them any harm whatsoever.
It's exactly what they needed between the two legs. They needed a home tie. They needed a tie where they scored a lot of goals, where they flexed their muscles a little bit, looked confident. They needed that. And I think that will definitely help them confidence-wise. But equally, Real Madrid did just beat Barcelona for the first time, 3-1 at the weekend. So, you know, their head's in the clouds as well. They'll be coming in confident as well. So it makes for a very, very interesting tie.
Just on the Arsenal game at the weekend, was Katie McCabe hooked because she was in danger of picking up a second yellow card?
Yeah, I imagine that was probably up there. You know, I think they're playing Crystal Palace next. So it was an accumulation thing as well. I think she would have missed the next game anyway. So not the worst game, I guess, to miss if you're gonna have one to miss. But yeah, look, her and Olivia Smith are always an interesting battle. And, you know, there's players and teams that know how to get under Katie McCabe's skin. And I think picking up a yellow early on in the game always kind of maybe puts her in danger, because I think that battle would have continued on into the second half. So, yeah, it made sense.
Talk to us about this Real Madrid team then. As you've mentioned there, it's pretty astonishing that for the first time ever in the Clásico, they've beaten Barcelona. I know there's been, 18 of them or whatever the case may have been, but it's still quite a striking fact. And it seems to be even more so a bit of a surprise, just given recent meetings between them. There was a Copa de la Reina semi-final doubleheader between them. Barcelona had beaten them 8-1 in aggregate in that. So this was definitely a turn-up for the books, not least the fact that it was the first time Madrid had managed to beat Barcelona.
Yeah, and look, I think that's kind of Real Madrid all over. They're quite an inconsistent team at times. Now, look, there was definitely some controversy around the game in that Barcelona could have, I think, come drawn level with them. They had a goal disallowed for offside, and it was just nowhere near offside. There was, you know, and there's no VAR to be able to turn that over, but it was, I think, quite a frustrating one for Barcelona fans, because it maybe could have turned the game on its head a little bit. But Real Madrid won't care. Caroline Weir came off the bench, made an impact. She is a very key player for them. But yeah, it is kind of them all over. They're just inconsistent. So I'm intrigued to see how this win will impact their performance, whether it will give them that massive boost, or perhaps, as I said, are their heads in the clouds coming into this one? It'll be interesting to see.
What is the Real Madrid approach to this team at the moment? Is it a sort of Galactica sort of approach to football? Is it a more cohesive, slow build? Because there are a smattering of stars in this team.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one to call in terms of how much investment, I guess, is going into it. You know, just from hearing from the top down, it's not the most I don't want to say not the most supportive, but when you've got the head of your club telling you you're not allowed to play in the Bernabeu until you've won something, it doesn't set a great scene. I'm sure they don't like being kind of playing second fiddle in the Spanish league every year, which it seems to be. But they are drawing in more interesting players and better players from around the world. You've got Linda Caicedo as well, who's massive for them. Olga Carmona, the key player on the Spanish side, for example. So they do have a lot of quality in there. It's just getting that consistency, and I think that is where they've fallen down over the last couple of seasons. But at the moment, going into this tie 2-0 up and potentially getting to a semi-final will be huge for them.
So a 2-goal lead for Manchester City versus Chelsea, a 2-goal lead for Real Madrid against Arsenal. Are the leaders going to progress?
I find it really hard to call. I do think both teams that are trailing very well have the capabilities of pulling this tie back. So it's going to be an interesting one.
Okay, so you're sitting on the fence there somewhat. You're saying
absolutely,
that
absolutely,
keep your eyes peeled.
Yes.
We should chat about the Republic of Ireland. Carla Ward was out facing the press today because she named her squad for the doubleheader against Greece, which is coming up starting next Friday week. Let's have a listen to some of what Carla was saying.
I actually spoke to them all. Funnily enough, I rang Julianne, obviously, about, you know, her daughter and my daughter, and, you know, I couldn't wait for them to play together. That's when she broke the news and broke my heart, bless her. But, Diane and Niamh the same. And then I'm still trying to work a solution where we get them in the environment in some capacity, because I think that's really important. I think, and particularly after the last camp, it'd be really important if we can. And then Quinny, obviously, she's out. She's just had a baby. Brilliant for her and her partner. So, again, not somebody we can get in the environment. But, I wanted them all.
Yeah, that's really interesting on some of the elder statespeople of the squad, the retirees that have kind of exited the setup at the moment. And maybe it's one of these underrated aspects that's just kind of led to the Republic of Ireland at the moment, Rachel. Just in a bit of a rebuilding phase.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we underestimate that. We assume that the best players on the team are the leaders, and arguably your Katie McCabe's and your Denise O'Sullivan's are absolutely leaders on the pitch, but I think we underestimate the impact of the wider players on the team and what they bring off the pitch. It's not just about what they bring on it. So when you're in a situation where you've got a new manager, you know, previous staff have left, you've missed out on qualification, that's a lot of things to juggle and to deal with for a team. So to then lose those key players and those key leaders, I can understand the desire to kind of have them in and around the camp and just help bridge that gap and help that evolution, revolution, whatever you want to call it. But it makes sense to want to bring those heads in and just kind of have a little bit of consistency when other things are changing.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear her speak about that, because keeping the IP of all these people involved in Irish football and having them involved in the camp, given that this is a group that have done something that the Republic of Ireland have never done in the past. It's really smart by Carla Ward to think of it, but also it's clearly something that she is absolutely considering if she's putting this out into the open, the idea of Julianne and Diane Caldwell coming back into the squad in a different role.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I think I said this before she was announced, or when she was announced, about how she's very much a people coach and she understands the importance of coaching individuals. And I think recognizing the importance these players can have on the team, even if they're not playing, you know, as you said, they've experienced something no other squad has before. And with that comes expectation. And now you've got new players coming into the squad who haven't had to deal with that expectation before, and that expectation for Ireland to win and to qualify for major tournaments. So it's a lot on maybe young players' shoulders. It's managing the emotions of not qualifying for the Euros. That's something these players have done before. And, you know, if you can have them in and around the environment and just have, as I said, that bit of consistency, if that just gives you an extra couple percent, it's absolutely worth it.
She was talking about the Slovenia defeat, and she said, it's a funny thing to say, but I think it was a blessing in disguise. We found out a lot about where we're at, the reality of the position we're in, probably what I can and can't do with the team. I take that on myself. I've tried new things, but I wanted to try new things. I wanted to find out a few things, and I think I did. I got answers. Katie McCabe, front and centre there, is probably what comes to mind. Rachel, anything else when you read between the lines there that you think she might be talking about?
No, I think, look, it sounds a bit cliche to say that, but I do. It's cliche for a reason, in that, you know, you do learn more when you lose. You learn about not just trying new things with players and what their capabilities are and where you are in terms of the period that you're in with the squad and that transition period. And obviously those games happened very, very early on in her tenure. So gives her the idea of the capabilities of the squad in terms of taking on new ideas, how players react to things. Like she said, you know, we could have scraped through 1-0 in both games and you probably wouldn't have learned as much. And to be able to then go away with individual players and assess them individually and look at, like I said, what they can, what they can't do, what they can take on, how they handle that defeat and that kind of thing. I don't think it's that deep, to be totally honest. But I do think she's also a manager managing a situation that she probably didn't expect to happen so early on in her tenure. So it makes sense to me. And as I said, cliche for a reason, because I think we absolutely learned a lot from that.
She was talking as well about the scars that have been left behind from the Wales defeat last year. That's still a thing that this group is working through.
100%. And it's something I thought watching them, even in the Turkey game, I thought to myself, they're not over it. They're not mentally over it. And maybe we didn't take that into consideration. You know, the expectation, as I touched on, suddenly they're favourites in games. Suddenly the weight of the nation's like, what do you mean we haven't qualified for Euros? You were playing Wales. Like, you should have won that game. That was a lot to deal with. And, you know, then camp's over and you move on and you kind of have to move back to domestic football, to your league team and forget about it. And you don't actually maybe deal with that as a squad. So, yeah, I think maybe we underestimated the impact of that and how disappointing it was, and to then have to get yourself back up again for international football, knowing a major tournament is a long way away and that qualification process is a long road. So I'm glad she recognised that, and I'm glad that's been brought up, because it is something I think that needs to be dealt with.
And the last thing I just wanted to ask you, because we haven't had you on the show since Roosh has joined Rovers, again, just to use what Carla was saying today as a jumping off point, she said, I told her to do it. She called me and said, I've got three options. And I said, League of Ireland, think about the impact you can have on the young players and how you can impact the League of Ireland, which is pretty remarkable that that's come into Roosh's thinking. It's quite selfless to be thinking about your impact anywhere when you've got a finite amount of time to actually be a professional footballer.
Yeah, but like the other thing Carla Ward touched on was her presence in the dressing room at Aston Villa, and that even when she wasn't playing a lot of minutes, she was glue in that team that held them together. And I think, you know, recognising where she can still have an impact. She might not play 90 minutes every week, we know that about her, but where she can have an impact off the pitch and where her strengths are, not just on a pitch, but off it too, it's great to see. So it's exciting. She's absolutely made an impact, obviously, scoring a wonder goal in her first game, showing exactly what she's still capable of. And it keeps her close to Irish football, which I think is really important too.
It is kind of remarkable, isn't it? Like, there hasn't been an equivalent of this sort of transfer in the men's game, really. Like, I mean, the big names that move home are kind of those that are big names for sure, but wouldn't be frontliners for the team or in the mix to be in the starting 11 for the international team in every single fixture. So it is, pound for pound, the biggest name that's played in the domestic league here relative to the national team.
Yeah, and like, I do think, like, we can recognise the importance of Roosh Littlejohn, even if she's in the latter years of her career, to the national team. She brings something different. And, you know, I know there was talk from London City Lionesses not being happy at how many minutes she played against Wales, which I couldn't wrap my head around, because she's such an intrinsic part to that squad. And maybe on the pitch might not have the same impact at league level over in England, but, you know, she shows still what she can do. So yeah, to be able to land her in League of Ireland, knowing what she's got to give still, knowing that she's still such an important part of the national squad, yeah, it's huge. It's quite landmark. And it was great to see the coverage of that move. So yeah, hopefully she has a good impact there.
One of the things that just popped into my head when we were talking about, you know, Wales last year and what this summer is not going to involve for the Ireland football team and the Ireland fans. I presume you still have a big summer tournament to look forward to. You're still going to be looking at it from an England standpoint, but I presume flights are booked to Switzerland and a very exciting summer ahead is planned.
Yes, and not flights. The car is fueled up.
We plan
on driving over to Switzerland and doing a game a day. So the plan is to see every team, every location. But yes, all of England's games as well. So there will be a Wales one in there. I'll have to watch that, unfortunately. But reluctantly.
Well, I'm sure we'll catch up with you before then, Rachel. We are not jealous whatsoever to be hearing about a journalist's plans for a major tournament. Thanks, Millie, for hopping on the call this evening.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.